Jeez.
All right, here we
You're so lame,
I'm
John.
super lame.
It
Sorry, I'm
goes
so
well with the
lame.
dumb jokes I make. I make a bunch of dumb jokes, especially in the comics, so I think it's on brand.
So I wore the shirt, the animals shirt, a couple times, and every time I wear it, somebody's like, "Is that the Pet Avengers?" And I'm like, "No." Then I have to be like, "Check out this book," and they're just like, "Oh, this looks cool," and I'm like, "Yeah." And then like, one person might buy it, and the other person's like, "Eh, I don't know. I don't know this person." I'm like, "God damn it, people!"
Well, you know, people are afraid of change, so
The
it's
struggle
true,
of indie creators is a big right?
thing. The book,
Marvin's
and I'm
already in the
not.
chat. Jesus, he was already ready to
Oh, awesome.
roll. How
Wow.
about that?
There we
And
go.
not saying like my books are great or anything, but like an indie book can be great, but if it doesn't have a notable name on it, that can play a factor. The plus side is my name is Brandon Ingram, and I share the same name with the NBA Pelicans player. So if anyone is going from sports to comics, maybe they're like, oh, this guy writes comics too. There
So
you go. You should
maybe
be
there's
like, yeah.
that.
Be like, yeah.
He plays for the
Right?
Pelicans by night and writes comics by day.
Right? All right. So, just some upcoming things for everybody. God damn it. Hold on. All right. Sorry, I got a call that I had to be like, no, don't call me now. It's the captain of my starship. Anyway, no, really, I'm a Star Trek cosplayer. So,
Nice.
so for those of you who don't know what's coming up, we still have one last weekend of our warehouse sale next weekend. Come on out and check that out. Thanks to everybody who came out for local comic shop day, last weekend. And other than that, we don't really have anything else going on. Except tonight we're talking to Brandon Ingram from Dismay Comics. He's here to talk about his already funded Kickstarter. So that's awesome. Always good
There you
to
go.
already have it funded, because now you're like, the stress is less, and it's just more about talking about the book and getting some stuff out there. And we will go over all.
It's just coasting now. It's like what you said. Yeah. As soon as I hit the funding goal, I hit the funding goal. I set it kind of low. My in-head goal was like 1500, and we hit 1500 within the first 7, 8 days or so, or maybe like first couple weeks. But then after that, I was like, oh, let's just see where it goes. Like there's stretch goals and stuff, but it's like I can breathe. You're like,
Right.
okay. It just goes from here, sort of thing.
Right. All right. So let me share my screen here. And let's talk about this stuff. First, let me make sure I click this button. So there we go. Okay. So we're at the Kickstarter page. So we're talking about 1 through 3. So if you guys didn't read one and two, we have one and two, right? I think we have one and two already.
Yes.
Make sure you guys check this out. Oh, we're gonna watch how easy this is. Back this project. Now we're gonna see.
Do some
We're
step by
gonna
steps.
we're gonna we're gonna pay attention and go, is there a retailer tier for just number three? So look, for a dollar, you can just get a social media thank you. That's pretty sweet. For $7, you get the digital. $12, you get a physical, which is pretty good, because if I remember right, one and two were like really thick. Like, this is like a,
Three
like,
is
how.
bigger than one and two. One and two is 52 plus pages. This is 60 plus pages. It's basically a mini staple bound graphic novel, essentially, issue three is.
That's pretty much as you can get without having to like square bind it, right? Like, any
Yeah,
more, and you're
because
pretty much gonna have to prestige it.
With most printers, it usually goes up to 64 pages.
Yeah.
There might be some out there where you could do like 80, but you're dropping the paperweight a lot to do that.
That's cool though. And you get a PDF copy, a thank you. Look at that art.
Yeah, Thomas's art is fantastic. I have the original cover art. Like he does traditional pencils and inks, and I bought the original cover art like 2 years ago. Like he finished all the covers 2 years ago, one through
Oh
four.
man.
Bottom, he shipped them here. Those covers are probably the things that like I'll probably never part with. And if someone wanted it, I'd slap a ridiculous price on it just because of out of like it's
Because you
my
want,
baby
because it's
kind of.
yours. Yeah,
Yeah,
I get
yeah,
that.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like it was funny because we're good friends with Robert Hack, and he doesn't sell any of his own. He doesn't sell anything that he's published, except he sold two pieces to a really good friend, a mutual friend of ours. Those are the only two pieces that I know of all of his work, period, that he has sold.
Wow.
And they're both from Archie. One was, I think, out of the Madame Satan one shot, and one was a Sabrina page. But that was it. None of his Doctor Who stuff,
Wow.
like, yeah, like none of his Dirk Gently stuff. Like, it's all, he has all of it. It's crazy. So,
That's awesome,
all right.
though, to be able to keep it all. That's awesome.
Right? Look at this. For $25, you get a signed, you get two signed copies, the sticker set, which, by the way, my dogs got into the last sticker set, and I found them all over my bedroom floor one day. I was like, are you kidding me? Come on.
Well, I can easily add more because I have some additional stickers. At this point, I am just trying to get rid of stickers. I have like way too many. So I'll probably include just additional stickers and like everyone's orders and the Kickstarter.
This is cool. The $35, like these are such good priced bundles. Like, this is crazy. You get all three books signed, either cover. You get the Tales from Town City, which is also good. You get the sticker set for Gallows Man 3. You get the PDFs for literally everything and the scripts. Like, holy crap. That's awesome. Here's the complete bundle for $55. That's a ton of stuff. I just love the fact that you're taking time to sign all this stuff. Like, that
Oh yeah.
is
Well,
huge.
it's one of
Huge.
those things like my signature, because I'm not big, my signature isn't entirely worth something at this point, but it's if someone's willing to like check out this stuff and get like a $25 tier or more sort of thing, it's like yeah, like something. Like there's a bunch of
Right.
stuff already within the tier, but it's like, hey, let me just do some more. Thank you for helping support the book, sort of thing.
Right. So here you go. If you are a retailer like us, or you know another retailer that you think should carry this book, $56 gets you 10 books, which is awesome, and they're all signed and a thank you. I'll finish this out later so that people don't see my home address on
Yeah.
it. But that's the one we're going to be hitting up, because we still have a cut. I think we still have a couple one and twos in this store. But you can do the catch up one, which I like, for $65, $80. Look at all this stuff you get for this.
Yeah,
This is
it's a
crazy.
laundry list of stuff.
That's awesome. Like, especially if you have like a book club and you're trying to do like an indie readers book club, like you can just share that PDF like through
Exactly.
that
Yeah,
book
yeah.
club. And like, if you know, if anybody wants the real ones, like maybe you just raffle off the real ones, or somebody can pay for the real ones. Who cares? Like, that's awesome. Like, look at all that stuff. Jeez. Holy crap. Original art
And
bundle.
I mentioned before that like especially with the Gallows Man, Helen Bolton, who's the interior artist, she doesn't do like she does digital. And then Rick Alves, the variant cover artist, he does digital. Thomas Teake is the main cover artist, is the only person that does any original art dealing with the Gals, man. He does the main covers. And like I mentioned before, I bought the main covers. I'll probably never get rid of them. But I wanted to make sure, like, if people are interested in original Gallows Man art that's coming from creators of the Gallows Man, it is possible to get that. And Thomas has a couple pieces. And for people, it's not just on there. Like, I have the actual art. So it's not like it's like, well, where is it? Like, it's
Right.
literally right there beside me. But yeah, it's two different ones. That one
This ain't
is,
no NFT.
this isn't an NFT. Like, you're getting the actual thing. It's in an archival Mylar sleeves sort of thing. Comes with a preliminary sketch as well. But yeah, that one is both Galsman and Newsboy wearing I Heart Town City shirts, and the heart is shape of it's a noose, like it's rope. And then the other one, that one was kind of tough for me to let go, but eventually I was like,
Ooh.
well, I got the covers, so it helped settle it for me. But basically, Galsman and Newsboy about to dish out their brand of justice, and Thomas's inking, his pencils, his line work, and his inking are incredible. Because, like, me showing it here, me showing it on Kickstarter, like, doesn't even do it justice, because there's like such little tiny details in like the wood of the guillotine and stuff like that. Like, this one, I like both pieces, but this one is the one I like the most. That, like I said, tough to let go, but thankfully I have the covers to comfort me, sort of thing.
And you still get all this cool stuff, and you get a Zoom
Yeah.
call?
Yeah, that's
That's
the thing, is
awesome.
you get the art piece, but there's all that other stuff. You get the Zoom consultation with someone's script, whether it's a
That's
screenplay, a
awesome.
comic script, all the comics, all the PDFs, all the sticker sets, all the scripts, all that sort of stuff. So it's a mix of things.
All right, let me get back to where I need it to be. All right, I need to stop on that one. All right. So we're just going to flip through number three real quick. We're just going to slide through this so that people can't just read it. But look at this cover. Like
Yeah.
if this doesn't scream like golden age, like just ridiculous, it's like superhero and also like pre-code crime vibe at the same time, right?
Yeah, 'cause
Like that's what I
you
love about
have
it.
both Galsman and Newsboy kind of like golden age, like the fun, like, superhero chipperness. They run over, and if anyone has read Tales from Town City, you might notice a little thing with the person they're running over that's in the sky. He's got hypnotism glasses.
I say that's the
It's
hypnotism glasses guy, right? Yep.
So and like, it's not entirely a spoiler, but he and Rusty Hook, the pirate guy, they make a little cameo in this. And that wasn't like because Tales from Town City number one did so good that I threw a random cameo in here. Like, it was always a part of the story. Like, three,
Right.
4 years ago when I wrote it, it was a part of the story. So,
Holy crap, it is 63 pages. I can see that on the bottom.
yeah. It'll be 64. The PDF I have there doesn't have one of the pages. I was doing a podcast ad page, like one of my the podcasts I do. I was doing an ad page, and we just finished it.
Right. I just can't wait for him to get loose and beat the shit out of this Nazi guy.
Yeah.
Like,
Like, this whole scene is like ridiculous,
holy
but
crap.
also he basically thinks he's like shooting Mr. Johnson, who is like the guy that Gallows Man works with at the funeral parlor. And then it's revealed, like, oh no, we got the wrong guy. Like, I just killed the wrong guy. And then one of the henchmen's like you said to bring him in at 2 a.m. And like, Major Swastika's like, it's 1 a.m. It's 1 a.m. right now. You brought the wrong guy in, and basically kills the henchman. And it spirals. It's
Oh
dumb fun with these dumb Nazis.
Oh, dumb Nazis. Like, this is it's like who turned out the lights? Like, he just like runs over to a literal switch. Uh-oh.
Yeah, basically, Newsboy and the team got in there, saving Gallows Man, and pretty much from there it goes from them trying to escape, as well as it goes wild, and you'll see right here, like Bertwald, the masked butler, he was in the first two issues a little bit, but here he gets a little shining moment with some butt kicking
Blam!
right here.
Nice. That's
He gets him
awesome.
there, and then the next page is kind of wild. He's just slamming the guy's head into the wall.
Holy
Yeah,
crap.
Gallsman and Newsboy cracking necks. And then you gotta get on with it. You gotta get back to we gotta get this bomb out of here. Major Swasko is trying to set off a bomb. We gotta get it back to the guillotine. It's a
Wow.
wild ride. And then Newsboy happened to have some of those little bombs from issue two.
Yeah.
They're trying to escape. Bertwald lights them, and they say little
Bombs
one-liners
away.
like bombs away. They're throwing it. And you got the henchmen running, and they look down and see the bombs, like, why do we even take this job? And boom, this explosion.
So
And
does Gallows Man's cape is it like indestructible like Batman's? Is that this what's going on
to
right
a
there?
degree. Yeah, to a
Okay.
degree. It's
Or it's like
mostly to
heat
shield.
resistant, I guess.
It's mostly to just like this old man, like shield him in some way. And this
Right.
is the introduction of our Batmobile, basically, the
This
Hangmobile.
is fucking
That Junker is
awesome.
the Hangmobile? It's like, no good, sir. This is just the decoy cover. Just rip it off, and then boom,
That
Hangmobile.
is
I
awesome.
love
I want,
the hood
dude,
ornament.
I want a cover for my car like that. Like
Yeah, just a piece of crap that no one's going to bother, sort of thing.
I want it to look like I want it to look like a Jeep Wrangler, and then you pull it off and it's the Ford Escape. Like or like an old international scout that it's like boom, Ford Escape.
Oh
So
yeah. And
oh, that's
then there's
awesome.
a good section of basically high speed chase. Them trying to leave with the bomb. The Nazi henchmen, they're coming after them. They're trying to shoot them, but they got bulletproof glass, bulletproof tires. Gallows Man hits the oil spill little switch that
Ooh.
he has, gets one of the guys. Newsboy's like, "Nice work, Gallows Man. Looks like you got him." And then it's screeching. And then that's the aftermath, them crashing into the wall. It's wild.
I'm just like weirded out that the Nazis have like just full on swastikas like on the car like that big.
Well, it just
Like
shows like how weirdly they almost worship this symbol. Because
yeah.
especially like this group with like Major Swastika, it's almost like a cult of how they worship the symbol, sort of thing. But this is where you get Rusty Hook and Hypno Ray in this, and Hypno Ray finally crafted the perfect tinfoil hat. He finally crafted the perfect tinfoil hat to where he could reverse the hypnotism that he did to Rusty Hook and make Rusty Hook think he's no longer a pirate and be able to go back to being a normal guy. But then it gets shot up. The tinfoil hat gets shot up. He's very upset about it because now it's ruined, and he gets in the crossfire. He gets ran over by the bad guys, but he's okay. You hear him say as he's getting ran over, "Ah, my back." So he's hurt, but he's still alive. There will be more Hypno Ray and Rusty Hook.
Oh man. We're only two-thirds through the book, by the way. Like, this is crazy.
Yes. There's a lot in the book.
Man.
Yeah, you have them laughing because Gallows Man said some sort of punchline of like they look a little burnt out at the moment. And then the
Ha.
laughing and it dies out. They make it back to the guillotine, the Wayne Manor, basically. And Jamie's not there. The billionaire philanthropist, he's not there to basically be like, hey, what's up? And it's kind of suspicious that he's not there. So they're like, all right, let's split up. Galsman, Newsboy will go upstairs. Bertwald, you check the kitchen, check for him in the downstairs area. And so they're looking. It's quiet. Bertwald sees the fridge open. It's like, that's peculiar. Like
Peculiar.
Master Jamie never uses the fridge. And then you have Gallows Man. He's going to the study, basically where the secret lair kind of is, and he sees something on the ground. We don't see entirely what it is yet. See something there. Newsboy's still looking around, opening doors. Bertwald's about to close the fridge door. He's about to close the fridge door. Gallowsman notices what he saw is a tripwire. And what is there is giant battle axe, where if you stepped on it, it'd get you. He realized everything's booby trapped, so he's like, Newsboy, don't open anything. And then bang.
Oh
Bertwald's
no.
closing the fridge, nearly gets snicked by some knives, some very Indiana Jones type trap there. Newsboy just barely survived. He was too short for the shotgun booby trap to hit him.
Wow.
And Bertwald is a little upset that there's now a hole in the wall. Attic
I just
door
love
pulls
that,
down.
like, I love that Newsboy kind of has like this like weird tuft of hair, but then he
Yes,
also has like this buck teeth, so he almost looks like a beaver. And Gallows Man has that big fin, so it's like a shark and a beaver go to save the world. Oh, there's Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie was up in the attic, and Gelsman gets a little upset, like, hey, like you about nearly killed us, because he realized he was setting up all these traps, and Jamie's just trying to explain, like, hey, like I thought they would get here before you guys would. I was just trying to set up traps in case Major Swastika's henchmen get here. And they kind of discuss that, and Newsboy, he asked further, like, what exactly was he doing? And Jamie was setting up kind of one final trap in the attic to where if the bad guys tried going up, they wouldn't get too far, sort of thing. Gelsman looks out the window and is like, we don't have much time. Are there any more traps that you set? And Jamie's like, oh, yeah, I have more. Why? Gelsman's like, we're going to need more traps. We're going to need a bigger boat, basically. And
Right.
that's pretty much where it lands right there. It just kind of goes from there.
Cool. That's awesome. Very, very awesome. All
Thank
right,
you.
so you actually have a trailer for this that we're gonna watch, which is nuts. I was like, you sent me all this stuff. I was like, did he really just send me a trailer? Like, this is
I
cool.
meant to
All right,
send it earlier.
so I have it set to do sound. So you guys are gonna have to let me know if it actually does sound, but I don't know if it will. I'm gonna,
All right.
we're fingers crossed here, guys. Let's try this out.
It's the
There we go.
Gallows Man. Witness action, humor, grotesque violence, and everything in between as the Gallows Man and his team try to stop the Nazi threat that has infiltrated their city. My producers are saying it's Adam West Batman meets Inglourious Basterds. Whatever the hell that means. Well, what are you waiting for? Help support this series by backing the Gallows Man numbers 1 through 3 over on Kickstarter today. There, I did the ad. Will you let me go now? Okay, I'll say the stupid stuff. Baby, get back. Have you ever seen a dead body? No cap, these chicken nuggies be bussin', gang. Would you like to see a dead body? Morpheus, Dorpheus, Orpheus, goo eat some walruses. Someone's getting a visit from the BB monster. There, I said it all. When will you let me go? Ah!
I always got to do that with any of the Gallows Man trailer stuff. This isn't the first time I've done work with that voice actor. He did Gallows Man 1, 2, Tales from Town City number 1, and then this trailer. I always like to do basically the first half or the first 45 seconds is the comic ad basically, and then the last minute or minute and a half just get him to say the dumbest stuff ever. Because it spawned from me and my buddy being like, what would you like to hear a 1940s radio announcer say? Just stupid stuff. Like, what's some stuff? Luckily, he was okay with it. I made sure, like, each time he's okay with saying this stuff, the voice actor. But yeah, in the past, we've had him say, like, pee pee poo poo and me meow, moo meow, I am a cow. And I had a wild DMT trip in the deserts of Nevada. Like, just, it's
Nice.
wild, wild stuff. Thank you, Mr. Corley, who does the voiceover.
Jeez, that's awesome. I just did the backer. We've backed the retailer end. So,
Oh, thank you.
yeah. So, not that you needed it. Jeez, come on. But so now you're at almost 2 grand of your $750 goal. So good job. Good job.
Thank you. Thank
So,
you.
I will say, like, the description, the Adam West Batman meets Inglourious Basterds is probably a
Pretty
very
accurate.
accurate.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the of all my books, that's like the quickest one I can get out at like a convention in terms of like my elevator pitch. Like there's an
Yeah.
elevator pitch where it's 20 to 30 seconds, but then you also need something that's one or two sentences long. And that
Yeah.
one is the easiest one where it's like, well, it's Adam West Batman meets Inglourious Basterds. And you'll have two reactions. You'll have someone being like, oh, okay, where it's kind of clicking and they're like, I kind of got to see this. They'll pick up the display copy. Then there's the other side where someone's like, how, what, like, how, what are you
How does
talking
that
about?
work?
And I'm
Yeah.
like, well, I give the display copy. I'm like, here you go, flip through. You decide.
That's awesome. Jesus. So you take it to shows, and you've had good luck at shows. Like, what shows have you taken it to lately?
The last show I did, I haven't done that many this year. I've done only four shows this year. I did seven shows last year. Last year was my first year of doing conventions and stuff. This year, I mostly stuck to like 1 day and 2 day cons, kind of smaller shows as well. Because with indies, like that's like kind of almost the best way to go. Just because of like bigger cons, any con is good. It's what you make of it. You make the most of it. Like a fan expo. Like I knew I was going to be in the negative regarding like profit or anything like that. I
Profit-wise,
knew I'd be
yeah.
in the negative, but like I had a great time there. I met all kinds of creators that I admired and looked up to, like some that were even inspirations of me getting into making comics. All that said, though, I don't want to do a bunch of the big shows, at least right now. Where I specifically, where I'm the one like the cost, the hotel,
Right.
all that stuff, it stacks up. And I definitely noticed that last year.
You have other creator friends that you like split hotels and stuff with? Or have you found that guy yet or that friend yet?
I wish the downside is where I am. It's near Pensacola, Florida, and there's not a ton of conventions in this area. The conventions, the big ones and stuff are South Florida, Central Florida, and that's 8, 9 hour drive. Then kind of got to go up to Atlanta or Tennessee. I wouldn't
Or
mind the
west
drive,
over to
but
like New Orleans,
I've done New Orleans. I did a Fan Expo New Orleans, but yeah, there's none like within like a 3 hour radius of me. But I have met a comic creator friend. He lives in Huntsville, so it's a little bit further than like 4 hours. But we've thought about stuff kind of in the middle of us, or if one is closer, us kind of going there and tabling together, and if we got to get hotels, splitting hotel costs, stuff like that. So slowly but surely, even though I don't have a bunch of conventions in my area, more opportunities to do cons, I think, are happening.
That's awesome. Like, because it's all about where you go and the connections you make and
Yeah.
like the shows that are good. So you should definitely look at going to Heroes up in Charlotte.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I 95% confirmed will be going this coming year.
Nice.
Because there's a big, it's not, it's a project that me and four other artists are working on. And we plan on doing a Kickstarter for it sometime January, most likely mid-January. But being at Heroes Con to also have the book and original art and stuff with that book, it'll be a first issue sort of thing, but it's going to spawn this giant world. Like I wrote it, so I'm biased in saying like the story's pretty good. I'm biased in saying that. What I will say though, it's and this is going to sound like a bullcrap thing, especially talking to someone who like is in charge of a comic shop. You've seen comics, you've seen a ton of comics, but we've all talked about it, me and the artist, the concept, the way we're doing this comic, the way we're making this comic, we haven't thought of another comic that has done this sort of concept before. It's I can't I hate that I can't say more now. I have to be vague and broad,
It's okay.
but
I'm curious. I'm definitely curious to check it out, and I will definitely ask that we get to be one of the podcasts that you talk about it
oh
when you are
yeah.
ready.
I was
'Cause
gonna say,
once you pique his curiosity, I have no control over him.
It's true.
So it's,
It's true.
it's like we're gonna do this. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yes, dear.
I think
He is my work
overall,
wife, so
that is true. No, I
we can't.
am I the work wife, or are you the work wife, or are we just
We're
each
each
other's work
other's work
wife?
wives.
We're
Yes.
work wife lesbians. I get it. Okay,
Yes.
cool. Okay. So I got it. Okay. So. But it's I'll just say like again, I think it's a good story. I'm biased in that department, but how the story is playing out and what the artists are doing, it's different. I'll say at the very least, whether it hits or doesn't, I think it will hit. At the very least, it is definitely going to be experimental in comics. And that's something I like to see, whether it hits or doesn't, with other creators.
That's cool. That's I'm just curious to see what the concept is and know what it is, 'cause like as someone who likes to keep things evolving, and I like, I, oh man, I'm gonna throw my boss under the bus for a second. So my boss is very rinse and repeat. Like he's very like, oh, don't break it if it's not don't fix it if it's not broke type kind of guy. And I'm like, well, I don't want to stay at 5 miles an hour. I want to go to 10, and then I want to go to 15, and then I want to go to 20. So I always want to see what the next gear looks like, right? So to me, I'm excited about that, because like and it goes back to like my music background. Like I was like, oh, sweet, 4-track recording, cool, 8-track recording, digital recording, oh my God. And now I like literally just plug shit into a box into my computer and I play whatever I want. And like, drums just happen. So like my creative juices are now moving because of the things you're talking about, of the things you're doing. And
What I'll
I'm
say,
excited about it.
for those listening, I'm sorry, but off air, I will tell you
Oh,
off air.
okay, cool. Sweet. Very excited. That's awesome. I'm super pumped. Super. We're done, guys. No, just kidding. No, because we got a couple. We are going to talk a couple comics. But also, you should also look into coming up to our show. I know your friends, the guys at Comicsburg. I'm sure they would help you out with a place to crash. Marvin's still in the chat, I bet. So I bet you, like him or Manny, would
Yeah,
probably
that'd be great.
hook you up. I mean, you
They
probably have
always
to
have a
get up
huge
here.
table that you could, share with, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They're
And
very
flights from
generous
Florida are
guys.
usually fairly cheap. So, like, a flight from Florida is like under $300, I think, depending on where you're coming in from.
And then
So,
being able to like finally like one meet you guys, but also meet like those guys. Like I've known like DP, like I knew Marvin shortly after DP, but I've known DP Brown like since like I first started making comics, since he
Wow.
was making his comic at the same time. And Marvin, I knew Marvin from what was the YouTube channel? It's bad that I don't remember this because I am friends with this guy, Chamorro Cinema, but now it's Nerdtastic News. I met Marvin through like the live streams back in those days, but we've still kept in touch since. So all
That's
that to
awesome.
say, it'd be awesome to meet all these people that I have these digital rapport with.
DP is down at like Atlanta now. So like you could,
Oh, really?
I mean, if you wanted to road trip up there and then pick him up and then you guys road
Yeah,
trip the
yeah.
rest of the way, I mean, that might be the way to go. Like, 'cause
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
that's like a third of the way, I think, right?
Yeah,
And then
give or take.
then stop in like Charlotte on the way just to stop. That'd be it's like 'cause that's about an 8 hour drive. And
Yeah,
then
yeah.
'cause it's like yeah, I bet it's about 16 to you. 'Cause it's about 16 to New Orleans, and that's about the same,
Oh, the drive. Yeah.
ish if you drove it.
Yeah.
But flying in, like, it wouldn't be that bad. And I think it's only like a 2 hour flight. Like, it's not bad at all.
No, it's not
So,
bad.
yeah, just a lot of shit you got to take on your plane, prints and books and all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
But you could mail that to us, and we could take care of it for you. Like, we can
Okay.
have it at your booth for you. It's not a
You would
problem.
not be the first artist or vendor to send us a bunch of their stuff and
Josh
us
Blaylock.
store and store in our
Chris Rupp.
stores.
Last
I don't
year,
know how many
freaking.
times John's messaging me, "Hey, can you find room in the back room somewhere? I got all this stuff." Sure, just let me move
Sure.
half the store for you, man. It's fine. That's what's awesome. It is like, thank you guys for lending that out there, because like that's what I've noticed the past year is like how supportive people are of like just like, hey, like if you want to come in this area or come to the store, like hey, there's a, because there's a guy I know in Canada. I don't know if I'm gonna trek to Canada soon, but I'm happy that he made the offer of like, hey, if you ever do like this convention or anything, like you can crash at my house. And so I was like, oh, dude, thank you.
I mean, also, like, we could even help you if you decide to drive it. We could even reach out to some of our friends and try to do like a store tour. If you wanted to take
Oh,
the week and drive
yeah,
up
that's
and drive
awesome.
back and do like a store tour, and stop and just kind of pitch, drive a day, pitch for a couple hours, drive another couple hours, pitch. There's guys like professional guy, like big time professional guys that do that in between stuff. Like the guys, it's just all they do is hustle, and that's part of the deal, man. Like that's how they make their living. That's what they do. They never stop grinding, and that's what they do. It's pretty awesome, like, to do that. And then we love supporting guys, because at some point one of you guys is going to be like this crazy major hit, and we're just gonna be like, I remember when.
Well, I was on a Comics Wellspring. They have a podcast, and I was on their podcast that we recorded like 3 4 weeks ago, but it came out recently. And I'm not a narcissist where it's like I listen to every podcast I'm on. I listened to it because the thumbnail said indie is the future, and I was like, I guess that's a very like vague thing you can just put there. There's an indie creator on, and you put indie as the future. I was like, I remember us talking about conventions. did we talk about? But then I listened to it, and like a big theme of the whole thing was India's the future, and it ties in with what you said. Is I'm not saying myself or anyone specific is like the next thing or whatever, but a lot of the Marvel and DC people, the big two people, a lot of them come from indie. Not everyone, but a lot of them come from indie. So it is one of those things where, like, yeah, indie is the future because it starts somewhere and then eventually they go to those places.
Yeah, I mean, a great example of that is Dave Pepos. I've known Dave for 10 years almost. And when he was doing Locke and or Spencer and Locke, like the first volume of Spencer and Locke. And I remember him is he was carnival barkering. It's like Calvin and Hobbes grew up in Sin City, you know, like, and that was it. That was the pitch. And now he's, you know, writing Space Ghost for Dynamite, and
That's
he just
awesome.
got off Punisher, and he did Savage Avengers, and I did something else that was cool too. I can't remember what the other thing was, but you know, now he's you know, cranking at Marvel. And oh, he did Moon Knight. He did Moon Knight City of the Dead.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, so you know, the dream is still alive, you know, and
Yeah.
you know, and then there's the like, you know, like the guys like Ed and Jim when they did all the Grand Design stuff, and Tom, you know, Tom's doing a Godzilla book that's coming out this next month, next month.
Next month, yeah.
Like it's crazy, you know, and like just when you think about those guys, or Tom's Tim Seeley, think about like he did Hack Slash forever, and
Yeah.
then now he's doing like Nightwing, and he did Green Lantern, and he did like all kinds of
And
DC
he's still
stuff.
doing indie because he's doing Masters of the Universe for Dark Horse. So it's you don't have to stop doing indie stuff if even if you are in the big two per contract and stuff. But even some of the guys that used to be big in the big two, like Geoff Johns, not with big two anymore. He's back in indie and he's bigger than ever. So it's you know you always kind of have to look at as long as the circle keep as long as there's a giant circle, it always comes back around.
Exactly.
All right, so to wrap up your chunk of this, and you can stick around while we talk about comics because I know you love talking about comics too. So they can go to Kickstarter, they can just look up Gallows Man, and it should pop up, correct?
You
Cool.
can just look up Gallows Man and it'll probably be the first one. It'll say Gallows Man 1 to 3. You can go from there. And we went through the tiers, $1 to $199, something for anyone. There's digital copies, there's physical copies, a mix of stuff.
Awesome. And if they want to follow you on social medias, it's just Dismay Comics, correct?
Yes, I lucked out. Back when I set up all that stuff, Disney Comics, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. That's all the socials pretty much.
Awesome. Cool. All right. So guys, go check it out, back it, get yourself some Kickstarter indie goodness. Or you can wait till January and pick some up at your local New Dimension Comics because it's coming because I just backed it. All right, we're gonna talk a couple of books. We're gonna only do four real quick because we are a little short on time. And I really mostly wanted to talk about this book specifically. So this is Hyde Street number one from Ghost Machine, Geoff Johns, Ivan Reis, Danny Markey, Brad Anderson. Rob Lee. This book is like Twilight Zone meets Stephen King. Like it's super creepy. It's horror. It's like zero fucks given, bad guy, like spooky. And basically it's like a street that just shows up in every town and every city, and anybody who gets on that street they meet a character, right? So in the first part of the story is this old lady, she meets like a Boy Scout, and he's like, oh, I'll carry your bags across the street, and she's like, oh, you're such a nice boy, and As they're walking across the street, he's like, "Oh, you seem to have forgot something in the bag." And the bag's filled with cyanide all of a sudden. She's like, and he's like, "Oh yeah, 'cause you used that to kill your 5-year-old daughter, and then it took a lot longer to kill your husband with it, didn't it?" And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And all of a sudden she steps in a puddle and her foot gets stuck, and a giant steamroller comes over and just plows her over. And he gets a merit badge for killing the old lady. Yeah, and it's awesome,
Nice.
right? And then
I was gonna
Mr.
say, yeah, I
X-Ray.
remember. Oh, sorry. I was gonna say, I remember the little kid with the Boy Scout uniform on one of the covers, or in that like one shot ghost machine thing. So, okay, now it's all making sense. Okay.
And then
Sounds like
he
it has a
talks
little bit
to
of Tales from the Crypt in there too, with the six foot
kind,
man.
yeah, kinda. It's kind of like that kind of like 80s, like 80s vibe of like. Of that kind of thing,
You
like I said,
deserve
like,
what you get, kind of thing.
kind of like, or Creepshow kind of vibe, right? So then he's talking to Mr. X-Ray, who's Xavier Ray, right? And you find out that he is the guy that put X-Ray glasses in comic books, and him and his partner were also the guys that put they called it piranha people, which were sea monkeys, right? And they're like, "But they don't even look like this, and they don't have castles, and none of this shit comes like this." He's like, "It doesn't matter. Kids are gonna buy it, and kids have money. Adults suck. They don't want to buy this." So, they talk about their backstory a little bit. It gets real crazy. They end up buying this tiny little monkey. The monkey like bites the guy, jumps out the window, which then leads his partner into wanting to jump out the window. And it gets to this point where there's like he goes outside to have a smoke. There's this girl, little girl standing at the door, and he's like, "What do you want, kid?" And she's like, "You're my daddy. This is a note from my mommy. She never sent it, but she said, or but she just died. Can I live with you?" And he's like, he reads it and he's just like, "Oh, you're Judy." "No, you shouldn't live with your uncle. He's a fucking drunk and an asshole and all this stuff." And he's like he's kind of like flipping out because he doesn't know what to do. And she starts crying and runs away, starts running down the stairs, runs outside onto Hyde Street. He walks onto Hyde Street, runs into the Boy Scout who's selling lemonade, and that's where his story starts, and that's the end of the first book, where he kind of becomes part of the Hyde Street family. And it is so, it reminds me so much of that really good, like I said, like Creepshow and Twilight Zone and like Steve, it's got that Stephen Kingy vibe that I just love this book so much. And I didn't know how I was gonna feel about it when I read the sampler.
Yeah, same.
Much like Rook, I was like, I don't know. I ended up loving it. This book just it just crushed it. Like I'm giving this the full tremendous 12 with a pot of fucking piping hot coffee. That's how much I love this book. Like it is that good.
Nice.
So go check it out. Most of the stores I think ordered decently, so you should be able to get some still. There's I think one copy left at NDC Cranberry behind me. So
All right, I get the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider. Now this is the Marvel Voices special. This has three short stories, and they're all older ghost story stuff. The first one is the story after he sacrifices himself to save the universe. Cap and Carol are talking to Gabriel. Robbie's brother and his girlfriend, and they're doing a my pronunciation of this is going to be awful. Ofrenda, which is a altar for the Day of the Dead type thing. That's what the altar is called. And they talk about how Robbie would love this and they wish he was here. Meanwhile, Robbie is stuck in the God Quarry zone. The car is not working at all, but as he walks away, it just starts up right away. Apparently, the offering in the ofrenda actually started, got the car to start, and that was the end of the story of him heading back into the Marvel Universe. The second one is of wolves and sheep. Robbie is racing a demon car, fights the demon car, and after the he does this, it's a kind of a little bit of a Robbie buying Gabe his favorite comic book, the latest issue of it. It's kind of a aw sweet kind of thing because it's always Robbie Reyes is always worried about his brother and back and forth. And the final one is the a fantastic roller derby adventure. Apparently Robbie is fighting a bunch of demon dogs as they're attacking. They end up coming from this portal at a local roller derby event. He teams up with Phantasma, which I have no idea who that is. I don't read enough of this to know who that
Isn't that
is, but
the
they,
lady Ghost Rider?
yeah, she's like a roller derby version where she's on
Yeah.
roller skates. Yeah, she's on roller skates and she could produce portals back to hell on a whim. So that's what she ends up doing, and that's the way that basically kind of ends. So it's a nice little kind of catch up for those who are big fans of the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider, which I actually really enjoy that Ghost Rider. I like it
Same.
better than the other two Ghost Riders, to be honest, which I get a lot of flack for, but I'm like, I just like the style. I like the fact it's a car, not a motorcycle. You know, it's little differences, but there's still things there that he still has chains. He's still on fire. So he still fights like demons and stuff. So it's a, you know, are you really going to complain about another Ghost Rider? No.
Chains and fire, you're starting to sound like Todd McFarlane talking about all the awesome things and with him and Rob Liefeld and Stan Lee. Just add some
Yeah.
smoke in there, you'll be okay. So.
But this was a nice little appetizer. It wasn't the greatest book ever, but I'm gonna give this like a give me just like dippy eggs. I'm gonna give them eggs, but they're gonna be dippy eggs. But it's gonna come with like toast and bacon and sausage because it is a little variety of everything. So I'll give it that, and I'll give it orange juice because there's a lot of Gabe little kid action in this, so we'll make it kid friendly and give him orange juice. So,
Nice. I will say I also think that Robbie Reyes might be my he might be my second favorite Ghost Rider. I think Danny Ketch might be my favorite one. But I was bagging and tagging some back issues of Ghost Rider yesterday, and I came across some night like some 90s early 2000s Pop Man art Ghost Rider where he's like super bulky and huge, and I was like, this is awesome. And I was like, oh, it's Pop Man. No wonder I love it. So I love his art. His art is so good. All right, my next book is Venom War number 3. This book starts out kind of okay, where like Carnage is like talking to like an alternate Eddie Brock, and one of the zombie symbiotes bites Willy Lumpkin, who turns him into like a symbiote like sort of type thing. It goes off the rails pretty quick. So that Willy Lumpkin symbiote is like trying to attack someone. Flash Thompson, Agent Venom, like hits him up and saves him, and he's like, suffering cats, I'm me again. And it was like the most Willy Lumpkin moment I've had in a long time. It was gorgeous. So that was great. And then it gets to this part where like Red Goblin and Toxin are watching the Prince in Black, who's Dylan, fight Bedlam, who's Eddie wearing himself, which is a long story. While the venomous Spider-Man, which is Spider-Man with the venom symbiote, watches and is kind of mediating this fight. But it goes off the rails very quickly. Like the Eddies split, Doctor Doom shows up and he takes control of one of the symbiotes that's on Dylan, and it like shotgun blasts into Eddie, and Eddie's laying on the ground like, I can't heal. And then like fucking Kang shows up and takes over Red Goblin, and he attacks like he rips Dylan out of the symbiotes, and then all the symbiotes are fighting. And at the end of the book, Peter finally realizes that in order to save Eddie from dying, he has to split the Venom suit between Eddie and Dylan. And that's where it ends. And you get like this sort of null looking Venom, and then like a classic looking Venom. And we're gonna see where that goes. But this book like went way off the rails very quickly. I'm like, why the fuck is Doctor Doom in here? Why is Kang in here? And apparently there's like offshoots like that, but like this book, like this crossover like is so messy compared to like King in Black. Like it just feels that they were just like, how many random things can we make happen in this Venom thing that we didn't do in King in Black and make it just like just completely. Like, let's just get real high and write like the craziest Venom story we ever could. And that's what it feels like they did. So I'm gonna give this
Like a line of cocaine, or you
oh, this
know,
is like,
because
okay. So this is Fruity Pebbles with chocolate milk while you're coming off a 24-hour coke bender. And you're drinking while drinking cold brew nitro cold brew from Starbucks. That's what this is. Like it is so
gee, your
like
heart
what the
explodes just
fuck,
thinking
right?
about
Like you're just like, what is going on here? Like you can't focus because you can't follow the story because you're just like, what is going on? There's just so much going on.
jeez.
So I'm really hoping like it kind of somehow comes together because there's going to be a new Venom, but from what I understand, the new Venom book that's starting soon is going to be kind of like it's very much going to be like almost like like Death of, or like the return of Superman or the Age of Supermen, I guess, like where there's going to be multiple Venoms and we just don't know who's actually in the Venom suit. But he's gonna look like Venom with a gold chest. That's all I know. That's all we
Wow.
know. It's just gonna be weird. But that, and I really hope to God this kind of leans into it. I still have to read the Spider-Man tie-in. I'm hoping that it kind of cleans up at least a little bit of this story because it's just weird. But I was really enjoying the first two issues and most of the tie-in stuff, but now we have just completely jumped the shark and gone off the rails. And I swear to God, if like the next issue, like the High Evolutionary shows up and Loki shows up, I'm out. Like I'm just gonna be like, fuck it, Al Ewing, I'm done. I'm not reading any more of your books. We're done. We're just gonna put
He's
you over
gonna
here.
insert Galactus somehow. We're gonna get
Right,
Galactus
right.
Venom.
Right,
It's
yeah,
gonna be
exactly.
great.
Oh, yeah, and in that bowl of weird shit that I just explained, there's also a bear claw, right? But it's not a bear claw donut, it's an actual bear claw. Like all right, please tell me this was
Okay.
good because I had to hunt a copy down and I'm gonna pick it up next week and I will take the spoiler from you. But I'm
Okay.
really looking forward to this book because I've been waiting for this book for a long time.
Yeah, this is Shadow Man Soul Eaters number one. It's beautifully drawn, very good. I'm enjoying it so far, but that's not saying much. It doesn't take much to please me. But the story starts, two kids chasing another kid. They end up just killing and robbing him in a graveyard. And one kid's like, oh, did we have to kill him? We could have just beat him up and taken his money. He's like, well, he would have narked on us and we would have gotten in trouble. And you know, they're like, well, what about the Shadow Man? And he's like, oh, you believe that crap, you know? And next thing you know, they hear a voice behind them. And you see, it kind of looks like Shadow Man, but it doesn't. And they're like, oh no, it's the Shadow Man. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm something else. And they just sucks the souls out of these two killers. And that's how the book starts. You get flashed forward, and you see Jack and Alyssa are having, like, basically kind of like a date night reunited type thing because of, you know, it's a tie-in to the resurgence, so of a lot of other things in Valiant Universe are going on. And Alyssa and Jack kind of get it on, and you see some very adult themed panels in this. So cool, mature. So not for kids under the age of 13, please. And after they are done getting it on, Doc Mirage and Punk Mambo are, you know, going, hey, something's going on. There's a disturbance. We need to get the supernatural peeps together. They get together, and it's basically like a think tank of all the Valiant ghost hunters. And
I mean, you
they're,
already told me Punk Mambo's in this book, so I'm already in.
sort of, kind of like, she literally like shows up for the meeting and is like, I got other things to do, so peace out. And that was it. It was like literally like 2 pages. She's like, yeah, I have things to do, you know, I'm done. So they are thinking that this is Master Darkwi starting his army of demons, undead, golems, and all that kind of fun stuff again. And they end up, was it, investigating in the graveyard that the two killers were killed. And they're fighting. They end up running into a bunch of undead golems. They fight the undead golems. You do get to see old school Shadow Man outfit, because
Sweet.
he has the 90s pouches going on. So you do get that kind of going on, which is really, really nice. So cool.
Nice.
They even make fun of it a little bit. They're like, oh, we're going old school, are we? They're like, sometimes the Loa, the Shadow Loa, chooses their shape differently. You know, it's, you know, it can't control that. So they battle all these golems, but one of the, I forget which character, notices that Alyssa's being a little weird, and she's also wearing a necklace that she's never worn before. And finally, she kind of is like, okay, I guess I can't hide anymore. It's a glamour. And when she takes the necklace off, it is this, we'll call him the boogeyman, because I guess that's the term they're going to use to call it. And they're like, I hope you're all prepared to die. So that's the way the book ends. It was really good. Like, it's very quick, very easy to get through. You get introduced to all the characters that have meaning. And, you know, this was a typical Shadow Man book that I enjoy very much. Like the new version of Shadow Man, I should say. Give me like a good, give me a giant Belgian waffle with mixed berries. and lots of whipped cream in it. That's how good this was. So
Is it a regular Belgian waffle or like
no,
a peanut butter
giant.
Belgian waffle
No, it's just regular. You don't
or
do
like
peanut
a
butter and mixed
strawberry?
berries. No,
Like, I've
mixed
had a
berries.
strawberry Belgian waffle. They're really good.
Yeah, well, mixed berries has strawberry in it, but it also has raspberries and blueberries in it too. So you get all of it. It's a little bit of everything, John.
Oh, jeez. All right.
You just have
Well,
to wait till you get the book to like really read the
you're
more
right.
detailed one.
Dude, I'm super pumped. I'm more
I'm
pumped to
just
read this
surprised we
one.
didn't order more. I literally found one issue in the mills and I snagged
So
it.
I think like the fact that Valiant of all the publishers coming out of the pandemic that didn't go into bankruptcy, Valiant is the only one to take extremely long to come back to publishing, which I thought was a little weird. But they got bought out by Alien Books, so I understand that that's why. I have been really liking everything that they've been putting out since then. They've been really continuing everything since like the that they did with the 2012 reboot, right? 2012.
Yeah.
And I love me some Shadow Man. I love me Punk Mambo, Exo Manowar, Archer and Armstrong, like like Quantum and Woody is a 50-50 depending on the writer.
I think
but you
what
know they're
Faith is a, they just released a Faith book. Yeah.
like Faith, like, but like I never was like a Ninjak guy. I was never an Eternal Warrior guy. Ivar's 50-50 too, but like the brothers, I bounce between the brothers, but I've always loved Shadow Man, mostly because like the original Shadow Man was like a jazz saxophonist, right? So it was kind of interesting on that end. But I just love that book in general, so it's just been always good. So I'm glad that this did not disappoint, and I'm really excited to pick it up next week. So
I'm just glad Valiant's back.
yeah, right?
Because there
Dude.
was the period where it was one book a month and it was only one series. And that was really sad to see.
Wait, well, for a while it was just the Becky Cloonan Exo Manowar for a long time, which is fine because it was a great book, and I really enjoy Becky Cloonan's stuff in general. I think she's a great writer, and she did really good with Exo. I was never like a super big Bloodshot guy, but there are some. Certain volumes of Bloodshot I really did like. I like Jason Aaron's run. That was really good. And I like classic Bloodshot, like the old like Bernie Wrightson stuff. Was that Bernie? That was Bernie Wrightson, right? I
Yeah,
think so. Yeah.
it was.
I
Yeah,
like
so like,
the Harbinger run during the reboot in 2012. Like my buddy gave me a decent bit of his Valiant stuff, and I loved Harbinger.
I mean, and now they're doing those big compendiums where you can get all the like the volume one pre-acclaim stuff, which is awesome. It's great. I love the Valiant universe. I think more people need to give it a shot, especially if you're kind of burned out on the Marvel and DC universe. It's definitely a thing. So, yeah. Just so you guys know, like I mentioned, I cut a podcast with the last comic shop guys. That won't air until December. But definitely check it out because we talked a good long time. And if you haven't read Emerald Twilight in a long time, you should before you listen to this because it was a extremely good conversation. And we actually came to some conclusions that I never thought I would about that book. And I would not mind sharing. So maybe when that episode airs from them in December, maybe we'll talk about it with us. Although we usually take December off because Justin and I are just so fucking busy.
It's true.
So,
Yeah, we'll do like one just before like Christmas time, and then we're like, yeah, we're done.
honestly, it depends on where Christmas and New Year's fall is really the thing, but we'll see. Other than that, I hope everybody has fun at PGX this weekend. If you're into Pittsburgh Retro Gaming, go out there and check that out. My starship will be out there. That's probably why my captain was calling. Because I probably need to talk to him about that. Fuck. I don't know if I can do that. Anyway, my bad. That's pretty much it. Brandon, thanks so much for coming on, man. Like, you're always a great guest to come on and talk.
Thank
You're
you for
more than
having me.
welcome to come back anytime. I know it was a little weird trying to schedule this time because I know we went back and forth on a couple dates. I'm glad we made it work.
Oh, yeah.
I'm real excited
Thank you,
about
guys.
issue 3. I'm excited to get it in the stores in January. And like I said, man, I wear my shirt every once in a while, and I rep. It's good times. So,
Thank you.
so cool. Justin, you got anything else?
No, I'm good to go.
Cool. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Actually, I have to work the warehouse sale. So we'll let you know. We'll let you know.
To the day before, it would be Wednesday or Friday, it sounds like. That's what's going on.
Yeah, it might be Wednesday night. Might be Wednesday night. So, all right, we'll see you guys later.